going to be in chapter 5. I had a gentleman probably about a month ago tell me that serving the Lord, isn't that a lot like slavery? Well, you have to do what you're told. You have to do what God wants you to do. And being confined in those rules, doesn't that seem a lot like slavery? So I thought about that. And to be real honest with you, the argument is there because you have to do what you're told and all those things. You're not allowed to go out of the parameters of serving the Lord and those things. But I got to thinking, the Bible makes a definite distinction between the slavery and the servant. And I want to talk about that a little bit this morning, because what a glorious thing we get to do serving the Lord. It's a glorious thing that the Lord would allow us to serve Him. Amen? The Lord gets things done in the most miraculous manner because the Lord uses sinners. And it's amazing to me, and again, I've had some folks tell me lately, it seems like you're condoning sin and you're okay. I'm not for sin. That's the craziest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. I'm not for sin. Matter of fact, I wish you'd stop today. Wish I'd stop today. But at the very same time, you must understand that if you constantly say that sin is so, and it is wrong, but if that's where you stay, you'll never get anybody to do anything for the Lord. See, He uses us. I don't care who you are, how good you are, how bad you are. He uses you to serve Him. Now, there's things that we need to stop doing in our lives. There's things that we need to start committing ourselves unto the Lord. And we need to start making ourselves holy. We need to start doing these things. And I'm all for those things. But there's got to be a time that you understand that you're never on this side of heaven going to be sinless. So you've got to be able to work inside of the parameters knowing that you're going to be, and you are, a sinner. That being said, C.H. Spurgeon said, a time will come when instead of shepherds feeding the sheep, the church will have clowns entertaining the goats. And the reason we say those things is because of this. And you may not even be privy to what's going on here. I know that I have not been necessarily studying into this thing. I don't have time for it. But understand this, on the West Coast, you've got a fellow named Rick Warren that's out there teaching a different way to have church. He's teaching a different way to have church in emerging culture-driven society. It's a church that literally has engulfed some independent fundamental Baptist churches into letting them believe that let the people do whatever they want to in the society's changing ways, we ought to keep up with the changing of society. I've got to be honest with you, nothing dumber has ever been stated when the Bible says the old paths are the right ways. You know, if you go away from the Bible, you can do whatever you want to do, amen? That's what we're going to talk about this morning, slave or servant. When you talk about these things, you must come to the understanding that your way is not the right way. Let me say that again. You must come to the understanding that your way is not the right way. God's way is the right way. And by the way, God's way is the only right way. There is no other way. And I know that I get harped on a lot about the Word of God and all you know, that's all you ever do. But I've got to be honest with you. If you don't have the right rule book, then you don't have the right rules. That's just the way that it works. So we're awfully hard on that around here. That's just the way it is. But at the very same time, I don't want us to fall into this thought process where preachers can start to get up here with no ties on. Well, show me a tie in the Bible, brother. Fine. Fine. Show me where missing church is right in the Bible. See, you can say that to me. Does it even look right having a preacher up here without a tie on? Huh? A fellow told me a story one time, a preacher that had been preaching in this area for years, decades probably, built a great work. He was invited back to speak at this man's church, and this man is very liberal. He was invited back because this fellow, I know what he was doing, he was trying to rekindle the old membership to come and hear their preacher once again. And he came back, and the man came, and he was dressed in a suit and tie, and the fellow says, we don't do that around here anymore. Well, my first move would have been towards the door. He said, we don't do that anymore. What I'd like you to do is I'd like you to understand that most of the people are okay and comfortable with you dressing in a certain way, and we're okay with that. He actually conned that old-time preacher into putting on a sweater and coming up here with no tie, or not here, coming up to the pulpit with no tie on, sweater on, and he went up there and preached the Word of God in a sweater. You might say, well, what's wrong with that, brother? They wore robes back in those old Bible times. What's the best you can look? That's what you got to ask yourself. What's the best you can look? A man looks best in a suit and tie. Amen? I think the man of God ought to look the best he possibly can when he's behind this pulpit. If you're out pulling the weeds, that's one thing. But if you're here shucking the corn, that's a totally different avenue altogether. Now, wait a minute. Does that put you in a way of slavery? No. I want to look this way. Right? Now, within those avenues, excuse me, staying away from New Age things. Because the Bible clearly tells us in Joshua to stay away from those things. Clearly. Staying away from those New Age things is very difficult. Because you begin to integrate some things into your church services, whether you know it or not. We can go as simply as a sound system. They didn't used to have those. But now we do. Why? Because it makes the service better. But then we can go with a screen and start having a bouncing ball go across the screen and have no hymn books. You see what I'm getting at? Here's the culture-driven church. We don't have people that are intellectual enough anymore to get out a book. We have to have them look at this bouncing ball. Amen? I'm never going to be for that. I always want hymn books inside of our pews. Always. Why? It to me, I'm going to be honest with you. It's better if you can look at a hymn book. I personally, don't fry me here, but I just want you to think with me. I have the King James Bible on my cell phone. I really do. But I don't read my cell phone to get my Bible. I have that just in case I'm out somewhere and I need a verse real quick. This is what I read. I turn the pages. I want to see the pages. I want to feel them between my fingers. I don't need my iPad to have my Bible. I've got my Bible to have my Bible. Now, I'm not mad about it. I'm just saying I'm watching this age come. I'm watching this age, and as a 43-year-old fuddud, I'm watching this age come in that I'm not particularly excited about. And as that man out there brings in droves and scores of thousands of people into his church, the thought process is, well, that must be right. And what you're doing is slavery. That's what we're being accused of, slavery. He's being accused of freedom. Amen? Now, as we read these verses, I want to draw your attention to what the Bible says, because to be real honest with you, what I have to say is irrelevant. But what the Bible has to say is of the utmost importance. Amen? Amen. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to read verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Now wait a minute. What is that? What's liberty? It's freedom, right? The home of the brave, the land of the free, liberty, Statue of Liberty, freedom. Amen? You've been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. We don't use our liberty to do whatever we want. Brother Martin, you had liberty to serve in the Navy. Could you do whatever you wanted in the Navy? It makes sense. Why? Because you don't want somebody doing something stupid on a submarine that endangers everybody else. That's why they have rules. Martin wasn't allowed to go take a monkey wrench and throw it into the nuclear motor of his submarine. Why? That's a rule that because everybody gets hurt otherwise. Well, wait a minute. That's enslaving you by giving you a rule. No, it's setting you free by having you be in a free environment. Amen? Now, excuse me. You have been called into liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love, serve. Who do you serve? You serve one another. So you must understand something. We've been called unto liberty. We've been called unto freedom to what? To put ourselves in servitude. Amen? You are not called unto slavery. You are called unto service. Now, I want you to take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 13 to start. And then we're going to go over to Romans. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, submit yourselves. What's that asking you to do? It's asking you to submit, okay? Submit unto the Lord. This is where marriages get screwed up. Okay, now I'm just, ladies, don't crucify me until you get to the end here. The Bible asks ladies to submit themselves unto their husbands. That's what the Bible asks them to do. Now, you can get with this new age group where it says the women should be running the house, but that's not what God wants. Take that up with God. No amens now. But understand this. Men, your job is to lead your house spiritually. Not as an ogre. Not as a jerk face. See, they say, well, the roads are 50-50. No. You want to give yourself, according to the Bible, you want to give yourself wholly unto your wife. She wants to give herself wholly unto you. That's how it's supposed to work. That's 100-100. Amen? Ladies, understanding that if your husband wants to take you to church, where ought you to go? If your husband wants you to read your Bible, as long as he's reading his Bible, giving you an example, what ought you to do? You're supposed to do what your husband desires you to do as long as it's spiritually discerned. Now hold on. Very difficult road to walk is when the husband's an idiot. Amen? It's the truth. I mean, men, we're losing men. I'm just letting you know that right now. The thought of being a man is being lost in society today. I have a wife that completes me perfectly. I have a wife that keeps me straight. I have a wife that helps me to go forward for Christ. I have a wife. I don't have a wife that's a wimp. I've got a wife that I need. Amen? She allows me to lead her spiritually. You say, no, wait a minute. What do you mean she allows? Because she allows, just like the Bible says, in serving one another. Women, you don't have to do that. You don't. You could be jerks too. Amen? You could say, forget you. I'm cooking a roast. It's too cold outside. I'm not going to church. You could do that, but that's not what God wants. Amen? God wants you to follow your husband. Husband, you're supposed to lead your wife in the things of Christ. That's the way it's supposed to work. Now, if you tell your wife we're not going to church, you're an idiot. That's your problem. And wives, when that happens, you ought to follow Christ before you follow your husband. But at the very same time, you've got to be very careful in the household to be very submissive in what God wants. I've never once seen a husband that tells you, well, you cannot go to church ever. I'm not saying they don't happen. You cannot go to church ever, and the wife goes, and the husband's all upset about it. Just, I've never seen it. I'm sure it is happening somewhere, but I've never seen it. In this day and age, we've gotten ourselves into a position where, first and foremost, our homes are shot because we won't serve one another. Amen? Serving one another. See, I'm supposed to serve my wife just as much as she's supposed to serve me. Man, you ought to hear that. Don't shut me off. You know I'm right. Your wife is not a dog. As opposed to what some churches teach over in Indiana, your wife is not a dog. Your wife is your queen. You ought to want to take care of her. She ought to mean something to you. She's not somebody, just go get my slippers. You make me dinner. You do my laundry. You wash my dishes and do what I say, woman. If you want to get beat up, go ahead and take that attitude. But that's not serving that's not serving each other. I'm not telling you to be a wimp. I'm telling you to be a man. A wimp bosses his wife around. Help me. A wimp bosses his wife around. A man wants to serve his wife and have her serve him. She will, fellas, she'll be a lot more desirous of helping you if you've got a little bit of desire to help her. Amen? By the way, don't talk to me about washing dishes, because in the Bible I never find a place where women are washing dishes. I do find places where men are cleaning up, though. Don't show that verse, brother. I don't want to do the dishes. There's going to be a day when I teach on marriage here. I've messed up enough where I know the book. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme. See, that we mess up in that too. See, we got to understand something. God put Obama into office. Boy, you hate to hear that, don't you? But all the kings reign because God lets them. He put them there because we deserve it. And we've got to do what the law says. Now listen, if the law says to take away my Bible, the law is going to be broken. You've got to hold God's law high, man's law lower, but you still should adhere to man's law. Now listen, this is what the Bible says. Whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, now not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. You're supposed to use your freedom to be a servant. Amen? Now, I want you to turn over to Romans chapter 6. We're going to stay here the rest of the time. I cannot shake this cold. Had it for about a month. Romans chapter 6. What has Christ done for us? What should we be willing to do for him? Nobody likes to hear this story, but it's true. Not all the slaves back in the slave days. By the way, I am completely against slavery of any type. I think it was horrible what people did. I really do. That time period was horrible. To talk about a man that he's less than another man is crazy. We're created equal. What we do with ourselves is what makes us who we are. Let me say that again. We're created equal, but that does not mean we stay equal. Let me say that one more time. We're created equal, but that does not mean we stay equal. The people that follow Christ become better. Tell me I'm wrong. The people that follow Christ become better. They're not still equal. Amen? That's not popular, but it's the truth. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Shall we keep on sinning to show that God is so good? Because God is good to forgive you of your sin. Should you keep on sinning so that way you can show people that he keeps forgiving you? That's not what we ought to do. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? If you've gotten saved and you're out of that life, why are you still living in sin? Well, I'm a sinner, brother. You just said so yourself. But, you know, there's got to be a day. Christian, there's got to be a day when you want to stop that mess. There's got to be a day when you want to come out of that life that the Lord supposedly saved you from. There's got to be a day. It's amazing to me how people, well, I'm saved, yet they still listen to the bad music. They still do the drinking. They still do the drugs. I've gotten saved, but I never. But let me tell you something. Behold, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. There's got to be a day when you decide to come out. You say, well, I'm still saved. And listen, I did it too. I got saved at 11 years old, lived my life a mess after that. But my righteous soul was vexed daily. I knew I wasn't supposed to be doing what I did. And God finally got a hold of me, and I decided that I was going to be a servant to him instead of a slave to sin. Amen? Look at this now. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Quit bickering. I'm talking to Christians now. Quit bickering. Quit slamming each other. Quit talking behind closed doors. We just talked about earlier, your liberty allows you to serve one another, to love one another, to care about one another, not to tear each other apart. Walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. You have the ability to overcome sin even though you're a sinner. Amen? You have the ability to overcome sin through Jesus Christ. In your flesh dwelleth no good thing. You've got no desire in your flesh to overcome sin. That desire comes from the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, that should make you desire to overcome that sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Amen? Christ crucified your sin in his flesh. He went to the cross, died for you. You've been forgiven of all your sins, past, present, and the ones to come. You've been forgiven, so you've been freed from that sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. Oh, I'm so glad. I'm so glad that my sin doesn't continue to crucify my Savior. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. If you read these verses, very simple. Christian, you are free. You are free. What has Christ set you free from? That life, that sin is your master. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior and you're in here today, you are a slave to sin. You can't get around it. Sin is going to control your future. It's going to control your present. It's already controlled your past. If you are a child of God, though, you've been given the ability to be freed from sin. If you sin, it's because you've enslaved yourself. If you sin, it's because you've enslaved yourself. You don't have to do the things that you do. We don't have to. Paul talks about it in the craziest passage I've ever read. The things I would, I do not. The things I don't allow, I do. Those things, because my flesh battles. It's a battle in your members. And somebody that's brand new saved has a big battle on their hands. And you're always going to be a sinner. Never going to let loose of it. But at the very same time, now you've been given the ability, because Christ is so good, to be a servant to him instead of a slave to the sin. Look at this. For sin, look at this. I must be wrong. For sin shall not have dominion over you. If you allow yourselves to do the things that you do that are sinful, it's because you've allowed that. The devil does not make you do it. That statement's dumb. The devil does not make you do it. You do it on your own accord. If you take a drink of alcohol, did the devil bring that beer to your house? By the way, it's the funniest thing. Oh my goodness, I laughed my head off. Kids are here in chapel. We're naming off the commandments, the Ten Commandments. I love asking the elementary kids questions. It's wonderful. And by the way, they did a great job. They got all of them but like one or two. Okay, they did a great job. The high school kids are hilarious. They didn't know nothing. But the elementary kids are answering, right? And they're bantering back and forth with me. And one of the little babies raises her hand and says, we're going, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not blah, blah, blah. She raises her hand. I said, yes. She says, thou shalt not drink beer. Oh, I got the biggest kick out of that. Thou shalt not drink beer. That must be the commandment for football games. But thou shalt not drink beer. That's the thing about our life is this. We do, and boy, it never rains truer. We do what we want to do. Even when you tell me you're doing something you don't want to do, you're lying to me. Because you want to do it. Because if you didn't want to do it, guess what you would do? You wouldn't do it. So you can talk about, well, I didn't want to clean the bathroom. You do want to clean the bathroom or you wouldn't have done it. I got plenty of people that don't want to clean bathrooms. I've seen it. I got plenty of people that don't want to plunge toilets. I've seen it. But if you want to do it, you'll do it. Why are the toilets? You say, well, I don't want to plunge a toilet. You do because you grabbed the plunger and went in there. You do because why? Because you want the clean toilet. Because you want the talking to stop. Because you want people to get off your back. That's why we do some of the things that we do. Don't tell me you don't want to do it. I've seen people not want to do stuff. If we have sin in our lives, it's because we want it there. What did the Bible just say? That sin has dominion over us or does not? Because of him that is within us is greater than he that is against us, we have the ability to not sin. The drug addict didn't become a drug addict because he went to 7 shots of heroin in one day. He decided to sin. That's why sin is so scary. You look at one picture of pornography, the next thing you know, you're on it for 2 hours. But it didn't start with 2 hours worth. It started with one look. We allow ourselves to be enslaved to sin. If you're saved, you're not. That's your choice. This is hard to hear. But it's your choice. You say, I can't get away from it. Oh, yeah, you can. You don't have to do it. You don't have to look at pornography. You don't even have to start up the computer if you don't want to. You don't have. By the way, the computer and the internet and the web and all those things, those have become one of the most powerful tools ever in man's history. Really, honest to goodness, one of the most powerful tools and also one of the most dangerous, dangerous avenues. And by the way, can I help you? It's amazing to me, and I want you to think with me. Where do you put your computer? I want you to think with me. It's amazing to me. People that do wrong have their computer in a room. They have their computer in a room where nobody can see. Think about where you put your computer. And I'm not saying you're doing wrong. I'm just saying think about where you put your computer. Now, I'm just going to tell you why I do what I do. It's whatever it is. Take this for what it's worth. My computer is either on my desk in my classroom or on my kitchen table in my house. Do you know why? I don't want to do anything wrong. I'm weak. I know that. My flesh is weak. I'm glad yours isn't. But my flesh is weak. I try to stop myself from doing things that I ought not do. So I put that thing out on my table, and it's open. My wife, my kids, anybody can come and look at what I'm doing at any time. Have I kept it from anybody? Do I try to keep people from seeing it? I don't want it that way. I want my life to be above reproach so I don't put myself in a position where I might fail. I know my flesh is weak. I understand that. So I don't go soul winning in a bar. You can protect yourself against sin by keeping yourself out of situations that may make you do the same. That's why in this church it's a policy among staff men, don't ever have meetings with the door closed. Why? Because it may even have the appearance of sin. Don't ever meet alone with a lady. Why? Because it has the appearance of wrongdoing. See, it's amazing to me that we look at sin and we don't try to head it off at the pass. We believe that our maturity and our spiritual strength will be enough to keep us out, yet you enslave yourself day after day to the very sin which you abhor, supposedly. To the very sin that you hate. That's what you liken yourself to, tie to slave yourself to put yourself in shackles with. That's why sin is so effective. Even guilt over sin is a place of sin itself. The devil uses guilt and doubt as two of his most powerful tools because we will enslave ourselves to guilt. I'm so unworthy. I'm so worthless. You're not worthless. Christ died for you. But you enslave yourself to that thought process so you accomplish nothing. There's not one person in this room, you need to hear this, sinner. There's not one person in this room that is above you. And there's not one person in this room that's below you. We are all sinners. Every last one of us are sinners. Yes, there's things that you can do that take you out of certain offices. Yes, there are things that you do in your life that can remove you from what God has had and planned for you. But you're never too far gone to serve God. Never. There's always something. We can make ourselves a slave to the sin that we should be away from. The sin has no dominion over us. Look at what this says. verse 14, thank you. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. And then that's where the sinner yells, Yahoo! I'm under grace. God will forgive me. Yes, he will. But you should be serving him, not being a slave to sin. He's already broken those chains once. Why would you want to chain yourself back to it? Isn't that a good illustration? Your chains are gone. They're broken. He's taken them away. Why would you want to chain yourself back to it? Why would the Israelites ever want to go back to Egypt? Why? They were serving, enslaved to the Egypt people. They were enslaved making bricks with no mortar. They were making all these things that they ought not have to do. Why would they want to go back? Oh, we'd garlic and leeks and onions. You were getting the trash. Fish, we wanted fish. I'm going to tell you right now, go fish. Why would you want to enslave yourself? When Christ, with a strong hand, brought him out of there. Amen? Look at this now. But ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. He wants something better from you. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself, servants to obey? This is key right here. Here it is. This is the key, Christian. You are strong enough with Christ that is in you. How many in here are saved today? Amen. Okay, so if you're saved, you have an ability that's given to you by Christ to say no. Just like, and I know I always liken this to eating. Okay, I really do. But it's true. I do not have to eat the food that I ought not eat. Amen? I don't have to do it. It calls my name, mesmerizing me, forcing me, grabbing my hands, pulling it to the box. I must then partake. No, I can say no. Amen? I can stop doing what I'm doing. I have the ability to do it. It's your desire. It's your insides. You do what you want to do. Look at this. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey? Is that hard to understand? To me, it seems like the King James Bible is pretty clear. It is not excusing you from your sin. It's telling you that you do not have to do the sin. Look at what it says. Let's read that again. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Kids in the school are a wonderful example of this. You can do the homework and not get in trouble. Is there a child under my care that is incapable of doing homework? Incapable. I love the kid that comes to my class and I check homework and they say, there's 5 questions. It doesn't even have to be 5, it could be 2. 5 questions. And I'll look at their homework and only one of them is not done. They do 4, the 5th one is left undone. Now, do you think that child says, oh, you know what, I made a mistake. Yep, I didn't get it done. Or do they say to me, it's only one. Are you kidding me? You're going to make me punished for one? You have no mercy. I thought you were a preacher that forgives people. That doesn't work on me, by the way. I tell them this. It's very simple. Who you obey is whose servant you are. Did you get it done 100%? No. Then did you get it done? Almost. Did you get it done 100%? No. Then is it done? See, do you want to desire to put yourself back in slavery from which Christ came to this earth, lived 33 and a third years, went to the cross, suffered beyond anybody's imagination, beaten beyond recognition, suffered on that cross. Why? To get you out of your slavery. Are you going to want to go ahead and take yourself back and say, you know what? Put me back in slavery. I can't stay out of my sin. See, we got to understand something. The Bible's very clear that says you have the ability to choose who you will serve. Verse 17, but God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. Before you got saved, what did you serve? Huh? You were a slave. You served sin because that's all you could do. Christ's death gave you a choice. Glory to God. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin. Isn't that wonderful? Ye became the servants of righteousness. Still a servant. But now, you're serving righteousness. You're serving God, who can take care of every facet of our lives. Who is the ultimate, the Alpha and Omega. He is the most wonderful, the Almighty. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. That means you can. Amen. That means we can. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Well, that doesn't sound very good. Being free from righteousness? Being free from doing right? Well, that doesn't sound good at all. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? See, what's the sad thing is we get to this verse here. I know the bell's rung once. We get to this verse here and we see these things. You know, it's amazing to me how few people are ashamed of what they did in their past. It's amazing to me how preachers use their pulpits and use their platforms to talk about what they did in their past almost as a rite of passage. I got to be honest with you. I'm ashamed to death of how I lived my life. I am ashamed to death. I would to God that I'd have been a Christian right from my start. I would to God that I would have went right to Christian school, did all the things I was supposed to do. I would to God. Wasn't my lot. But I know this, I look back on what I did in my life and it makes me ashamed. I look back at what I did in my life and I'm so sorry every day that I did the things that I did. It's not a rite of passage. It's a horrible part of my life. But it was part. And when I talk about it, I hope and pray that I get somebody else to not go there. I hope and pray that I get somebody else that they don't have to live their life understanding that they are ashamed of what they used to do. I could have done different, but I didn't. I was freed from sin, but yet enslaved myself to that sin. I was saved at 11, and I decided to go ahead and still live my life as a slave to sin. You were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? What did you do then that made fruit? Amen? Think about that. What did you do that was so great? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness. And the end, everlasting life. Now this comes to the verse we all know. For the wages of sin. The Bible's telling you what happens in your sin. If you decide to sin, if you decide to go into those things. By the way, this is not just dealing with, this is dealing with saved people, but this is not just dealing with your past. The sin that you commit now, the wages of that sin are still death. You're not going to die and go to hell, but it's the wages of those sin is still death. It's always death. The wages of sin didn't say it used to be death. Does it say that? It says the wages of sin is death. The sin that we commit is still death. It's still not going to, if you think looking at pornography for 2 hours is not going to bring death, it'll bring death to a lot of things, maybe not physically, but it'll certainly bring death spiritually. Not complete death, but a part of your life will be rendered inadequate. Why would you want to do that? Look at this now. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This verse is dealing not just with salvation, although it is definitely dealing with salvation. It's also dealing with our daily walk. You know what's amazing? We feel sometimes that we don't have a choice. We really do. We feel like we must. It's not fun being a Christian. You know what? I'm going to be honest with you. I have so much more fun now than I ever had back then. I have so much. Yeah, throwing up, that was wonderful. Getting in fights, that was great. Doing those things that we deem as fun, that's slavery. Being able, having the choice to serve God is such a wonderful thing that God has done for us. You're not a slave to Him. You're a servant. And who better to serve than the one by whom all things consist? What a great God we serve. That's why it's not slavery. That desire inside of you is that spirit beckoning you to do what God wants us to do. There's the difference between being a slave and being a servant. Let's pray this morning. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for the time that we've had in your word. Lord, please let us understand what a great privilege and honor that it is to be able to serve you. Let us also understand, Lord, that you're not going to put us in a headlock. Lord, you're not going to push us. We've got to come to you. We've got to make the determined decision that we're not going to serve sin, that we're going to serve you. Lord, help us to understand that it is truly a choice. It's a choice. We're going to serve somebody. There's only two to serve. Lord, help me to serve you better. Help me to look to serve you better. Help me to look to get out of those things which doth so easily beset me, those things called sin. Help me to give my life to you more freely. Help me to serve you better. Thank you for being such a merciful and graceful God. But Lord, there's got to be a time when I decide to give my life to you. Lord, help me to do just that. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We'll break for about 10 minutes.